Continuing, secondly, the changes in power relations between status groups, such as age groups, genders, and ethnicities, a major consequence of the 1968 revolution, have also proved to be far more lasting than the movements which brought them to world attention. These changes are registered primarily in the hidden abodes of everyday life, and as such are less easy to discern than changes in interstate power relations. Nevertheless, we can say with some confidence that even after 1973, when most movements had subsided, the commands of dominant status groups, such as older generations, males, majorities, continued in general to become less likely to be obeyed by subordinate status groups, younger generations, females, minorities, than they ever were before 1968. This diminished power of dominant status groups is particularly evident in core countries, but may be observed to varying degrees in semi-peripheral and peripheral countries as well. Thirdly, and closely related to the above, pre-1968 power relations between capital and labor have never been restored. In this connection, we should not be deceived by the experience of particular national segments of the capital-labor relation. What must be assessed is the likelihood that the commands of the functionaries of capital be obeyed by their subordinates over the entire spatial domain of the capitalist world economy. And my interjection here, I really like their dissent, I shouldn't put it as a dissent, but their rootedness in the concrete there, you know, rather than abstractions. I like their practical definition of whether the strength of existing power relations. Continuing, I'll just repeat that. What must be assessed is the likelihood that the commands of the functionaries of capital be obeyed by their subordinates over the entire spatial domain. There, remember, it is only from the vantage of the whole, the entire globe, that the truth may be known. Over the entire domain of the capitalist world economy, and over a period of time long enough to allow for the interplay of commands and responses to affect the relations of production and the distribution of resources. From this point of view, the central fact of the 1970s and 1980s has been the growing frustration experienced by the functionaries of capital, I would say, of the global state, statesmen, by the functionaries of the power guys in their global search for safe havens of labor discipline, safe havens of labor discipline. Many of the locales that in the early 1970s seemed to provide capitalist production with a viable, and I have to interject again, this is not rooted in my mind as directly as it needs to be, that when we're talking about capitalist production, that is an effect of the underlying social relations of domination of us. We, the people, and we're going to be saying next week that the economy is merely class relations quantified. And if we allow the economy to be sacrosanct, so we are then therefore allowing class to be sacrosanct. Continuing, from this point of view, the central fact of the 70s and 80s has been the frustration of the functionaries of the global state statesmen in their global search for safe havens. Because recall what job they do in the furthering of this global state. They privatize the globe and they serve their masters without question. Many of the locales that in the early 70s seemed to, and they both serve and are. There's a lot of crossover, I would imagine. Many of the locales that in the early 70s seemed to provide capitalist production with a viable alternative to the restive labor environments of the core zone have themselves turned one after another into loci of labor unrest. And we'll return to this thought next week, I think, because we need to consider where we are right now on this issue. All right, continuing. Many of the locales that had provided a safe alternative to restive labor, prove themselves, turn themselves into loci of labor unrest. Portugal, Spain, Brazil, Iran, South Africa, and most recently, South Korea. We may well say that since 1968, the functionaries of capital have been on the run. And while this heightened geographic mobility has tended to dampen, and while this heightened geographic mobility of the corporate elite has tended to dampen the unruliness of labor in the places from which the functionaries of capital have fled, it has tended to have the opposite effect in the places in which they have settled. And that's not a great spot to end in, but we are probably needing a break here. And it's out of, we are now at 10. So I just want to thank you again for hanging in there, and I hope this actually got out over the internet. Thank you. I love you all, and I am grateful that you are listening. Until next week, peace.